طائفة ليتفقهوا في الدين ولينذروا قومهم إذا رجعوا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأفضل الصلاة والتسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon our Holy Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and his infallible progeny, and may Allah's eternal damnation be upon their enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and we continue with this ayah, verse 189 of chapter 2, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they ask you about the crescent moons, tell them that they are these time markers for the beginnings of the months of the lunar calendar for people and for Hajj, time markers for Hajj. Today, in this episode, what I would like to cover is this verse in a little more detail. Now, notice this issue of asking about the beginning of the month is an issue that the Prophet had to deal with in his time 1400 years ago and that we have to deal with today. So it's an issue that continues to be a trial for us and a challenge. This means then that it's important for us to understand, how do we mark the beginning of the month? The verse is very clear. It says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you about الْأَهِلَّ, not the moon, but the crescent moon, meaning the state of the moon as it comes out of its new moon state, which depends on several factors. Now, the astronomers themselves, they can determine when the new moon is, but they tell you, we cannot predict with accuracy when the crescent moon itself can be sighted. One website will tell you a minimum of 20 hours after the new moon is born. One website will tell you 22 hours. The fact that the astronomers themselves can tell us in accordance to the second of when the new moon will be born tells us that ascertaining the new moon is no problem at all. It's never been a problem. Why? Because even the verse itself doesn't speak of the new moon, but rather it speaks of the crescent moon. So the crescent moon then becomes this focal point, as we mentioned. Now, because the crescent moon is a focal point, we say, well, what are the resources by which we can ascertain the sighting of the crescent moon? So if we look at the astronomers, let's take a look at the website of the British Navy here. Notice that they say here that it cannot be determined with certainty, the crescent moon itself, though the new moon, as you can see from the phrase, can be determined to the second. Now, this tells us then that how can we say that the scholars don't depend on astronomical data and the technology has become so advanced that we should depend on them and everything that they say, but they themselves say the crescent moon sighting, they cannot determine with accuracy. They cannot determine with certainty. Now, that tells us then that we can't really depend on the astronomical data to prove it, though it can be a source of contentment, as we mentioned. The next point that we want to look at in the verse is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. He says, say that they are time markers for the beginnings for the beginning of every month. Now, that tells us what? That tells us then that they are time markers. And because Allah says, annas, say that they are time markers for people, Allah doesn't say for al-munajjimin, lil-munajjimin. He doesn't say for those who are astronomers who collect astronomical data. No. He specifically says for people, meaning all people. Now, if we move forward a little, and we look into the traditions of Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He says, Obey Allah and obey His Prophet. And those who He has given His command. And these are the Imams. If we know that the Prophet himself did not depend on the astronomical data, then we can say, as well as the Imams, then we can say for sure that we also can't depend on the astronomical data. You might say, well, the astronomical data didn't exist in those days. No. The Mayans had astronomical calculations and predictions. The Greeks had astronomical information and data and predictions that they collected over the years. As did the Chinese. As did people of other civilizations, including the Egyptians. This tells us then that the issue of the astronomical data is not something new. But you see, the astronomical data only gives us certainty in the new moon, not in the sighting of the crescent moon, which depends on several factors, such as the elongation of that reflection of the moon, of the sunlight off the moon. Also, the distance of where we are in accordance with the moon and the sun. Also, the speed with which the moon itself moves. There are several factors that affect whether we're going to sight this crescent moon or not. And how accurate. For example, countries that are closer to the equator are more likely to see the crescent moon. Why? Because of their distance from the moon. They tend to be closer. Also, the crescent moon tends to stay up in the sky farther from the sun, and it tends to stay for a longer period of time. While areas that are in the northern regions, or the middle regions, or the southmost regions, it's harder for them to see. Why? Because of the closeness of the crescent moon to the sun during sunset, which makes it harder for a person to view, and it takes less time. It stays up there for a lesser amount of time. The next thing that we must understand then is we have to be responsible when it comes to understanding the crescent moon, because it truly is a responsibility. The traditions say, صُمْ لِلرُّؤْيَا وَفْطُرْ لِلرُّؤْيَا. Fast in accordance with the sighting, and break your fast in accordance with the sighting. Speaking about the Eid specifically. So that tells us then that the astronomical data must be a source of contentment, cannot be a source of certainty when it comes to the crescent moon sighting. Why? Because they themselves, the astronomers, say that we can't depend on it. They can't predict it with accuracy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not make it such that, in His benevolence, He would not make it such that we would have to depend on the astronomers specifically to view the moon. And that is why sighting the moon with the with our own eyes, becomes how we can prove the crescent moon. From the time of 1400 years ago to this very day, this is the best means by which we can determine and prove that the crescent moon has shown. And so we can mark the beginning of the month, the beginning of every lunar month. We can determine the beginning of the month of Ramadan, as well as the beginning of the month of Shawwal, and celebrate Eid. The next question is, well, what do I do if we follow two maraja in my household? One, his Eid is earlier, the other, his Eid is later. Well, there are several solutions. If it is such a huge problem, you can always go out and travel in the morning, break your fast after you pass Hadd al-Tarakhus, the distance of permission, which according to Ayatollah Sistani is the last area where you saw somebody at the border of your city. When they can't see you and you can't see them anymore, then that's Hadd al-Tarakhus, that's when you break your fast. Or you can stay at home and do itmam adda, meaning that you just complete the 30 days out of precaution. Or if you know for sure, or you have contentment at least, then as long as it's a minimum of 29 days, then that's fine if you feel comfortable. But remember, you have to depend on solid data, right? If you're not going to depend, the data has to give you, or the information from the intellectual resources has to give you a level that's just shy of certainty, so that you have that contentment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, that He accepts our dua and our deeds in this holy month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength and knowledge, and to allow us to be unified under the truth. And when I say to be unified under the truth, I mean the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt and the knowledge of the Quran. Not in following our whim, for our Prophet did not follow his whim. He spoke not but revelation, according to chapter of Najm, the star, verses 3 and 4, where he says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Surely he does not speak of his whim. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Surely he is not but revelation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to be unified under our maraja, to understand the value that unity really is in following the truth and in showing tolerance. Islam is a religion of tolerance. We have to be tolerant of each other. We shouldn't be getting into arguments, inshallah. If one person is content with a piece of information and they feel that it is eight tomorrow, so be it. To each his own. That's okay. At the end of the road, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at our maraja and according to their fatwa, they will be held responsible. In our case, our responsibility is to follow our maraja. And inshallah, all of us will reach the truth, bi'idhnihi ta'ala. Because if we follow our maraja, they are the ambassadors of the truth. And in our religion, in Ithna Ashari, Ja'fari school of thought, there's room for this derivation of Islamic laws that allows us to have a little diversity. And this sort of diversity is good and it's healthy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to realize that. Please remember us in your dua. And please, please be kind to each other and merciful. May Allah bless you and bless us, inshallah, and all of the Muslims. We congratulate Imam al-Hujjah for the coming of Al-Eid. And we congratulate all of the Muslim world. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.